Welcome back to Word on the Hills with me, Felicity Sidnell Reed, my co-host Gwyn Sheltimer, and our guest this week, Janet Richards. What do you consider to be the greatest challenges you face as a poet, Janet? Do you write for a particular audience, or perhaps for yourself?
I would say my biggest challenge as a poet has to be creating time for myself to write creatively. With writing all day, some days for work or reading or things related, it's sometimes hard in the evenings or weekends to push myself to do that creative writing, and I'll find that it will build up in me to the point where I just have to. And then it's usually quite inopportune times, you know, when one should perhaps be going to bed or such, that I decide it's a great time to write, or when the ideas seem to start flowing. And I think I write because I have an idea. It might be a phrase that I catch that just sticks in my head and I want to play with it, or it might just be I have an urge to write. And I think initially it's just an answer to that wanting to write. And as I get things down, I don't necessarily consider a particular audience, but I do like to write in a style that I think is accessible to a large number of people, so that they may be able to find something that they can relate to or that they can visualize and hang on to in the poem, to maybe draw them in or to make them think, or just to say, you know, I've never really looked at that way, and that's an interesting perspective.
Mm-hmm. Can you describe the process you follow when you write poetry? Once you've got your urge, what happens?
And I don't know that there's a particular process that I could say that I use every time I sit down specifically to write. Sometimes I will start and, you know, almost in a stream of consciousness sort of way, will end up with something scribbled on the page or on the keyboard on the screen, as it might be. Although I do like to write longhand, I might come out with something that seems, you know, sort of like a good chunk and a fairly complete piece, which I will then go back and look at and edit and tweak little things here and there. Other times I find I will go through phases where I write a lot of snippets or little phrases or wordplay that I like, and I will actually try and work them into things as I'm writing, say, oh, you know, I had this and this might fit in here. So sometimes it does come out sort of as an almost complete single poem, and other times I find I'm crafting more, which again, and you know, there's also those self-indulgent times when you just have to write and it is a stream of consciousness, and maybe most of it is nonsense, and those are the things that don't end up getting shared with people quite so much. But I think an important part of the process is going back and being able to look at what you've written with a critical eye and let go of personal attachments you may have to certain ways you've worded something, or and to just clean it up and edit, which is influenced again by my career as a journalist. I guess I've got a bit of that editing bug as well.
I think all poets probably like to put it away and then take a new look. I know I do when I write a poem, so sometimes it's a long time before I pick it up and perhaps rework it entirely. But yes, time does good things to poems sometimes.
It's hard to let go sometimes,
If you could only pursue one form of writing, which would you choose?
Well, I'd have to say if I were independently wealthy or able to manage, I would probably choose the poetry. I love the journalism, and certainly it's a career that you can probably make just a little bit more money at than poetry. Not that much more. But it's hard to eke out a career in poetry that will sustain. But I think the poetry and the creative side of it just has that much more freedom. I would still be able to tell stories and share ideas and information with people, but I would have free rein over the form in which I present it, and you know, be able to use my nice wordplay and large vocabulary words. I think I would just like that little bit of creative freedom.
Yes. So are you going to read some of your poems from your collection, Glass Skin, this time?
I will. I have, I believe, in the pile that I have here to read, there are some that are in the book and there are some that were written after the book, so it's just a bit of a mix of a little bit of everything. Horses. I accelerate around a corner. Tires pirouette on pavement, and I am met by horses, pulling a plain buggy. An Amish family, father at the reins, mother with a young girl on her lap. The revolution of wheels powered by strong flanks. Down the road, two girls in matching dresses and bonnets walk barefoot on the shoulder, perhaps home from the farm gate garden. I wonder if I should take note of their simple lifestyle, shun technology, take my foot off the accelerator. Impermanence. Harry told me poets hold power. Words can move people. And I should write about garbage in the water, litter on his sand canvas. I told him I sculpt with words, my hands not as deft as his. And I wondered why he chose mediums of impermanence, made art that melted and washed away. There were lines he suggested in a voice I couldn't imitate, and I wish I could remember so the poem could be written better late than never. And this is a poem that I actually wrote for a fellow poet of mine that I knew through my poetry circles, who is no longer with us. Max Hat. The worn leather fedora I always picture him in sits atop books beside the urn. The church heralds the holidays, lights and sparkling decor. The service is perfect, not pious, full of stories he loved to tell. In the hall where mourners hover over sandwiches and sweets, there are pictures of a life before we met. There are sheets of poetry that read familiar. On my way out, I pause in the empty sanctuary, run my hand along the brim of Mac's hat, and whisper my goodbyes.
That's lovely.
Thank you. This is a bit of a collection, one of those pieces that was probably a collection of thoughts that I tried to cobble into something. Mourning a pocket poem lost to the laundry. There was something about evening, air foreboding thick, incessant crickets. There is memory without a face. If it's a good idea, it will come back. A tenet best left to optimists. The rain is too late. Leaves have curled their edges. Petals droop. Although a few shrunken pansies still smile weak. Weeks of facts and photos, the documentation of day to day, without a poem. Surely last Friday's moth, with orange and black underwings, deserved due diligence. Yesterday's cumulus, dark with rain, thunder drums and sky watches of refracted light, lent themselves to lines. The wind, yes. Leaf rustle breeze accompanies the calamity of crickets, even as the sun struggles to warm. And I wanted to read this piece because I wrote it several years ago, and I've just recently returned from a trip to New York City with my daughter, and in going through things to look at what to read, this struck me, and I think I nailed this. And I could have just written it a few weeks ago reading it now.
Good.
City song. Street smart birds roost on ledges above tourists who gawk skyward at engineered obstacles and cosmopolitan commuters who dance in traffic to the strains of sirens and horns. And I'll just finish up with this one that will maybe leave people thinking. Crafting. A poet is seldom called on in an emergency. There is not often the immediate need for the art of stringing words just so, except perhaps in the wake of political faux pas, when technical verse makers must urgently cloud truths with creative jargon. I'd rather watch the leaves unfurl or a jet stream spread itself in the sky.
Well, that does promote thinking, doesn't it?
Yes.
Thank you so much, Janet,
You're welcome.
For coming
Thank
in.
Thank you for having me.
And where can people buy your book, Glass Skin, and maybe the anthologies you mentioned earlier?
I think the best spot to pick up Glass Skin would be from the publisher, which is Hidden Brook Press. And
yes.
I believe a Google will bring up the website for Richard Grove
yes.
and his Press, and I know my book is available for sale on there. As for the anthologies, several of them were published, I believe, through self-publishing outlets, so it would be a matter of Googling, and I don't know if you have somewhere you can post some links. I can send the names along.
Well, thank you. Hiddenbrook Press can be accessed by just writing in Hiddenbrook Press, and up will come the publishing house. And we had Richard Grove on the program earlier. Many thanks to our listeners for tuning in. We hope you'll join us for another program next week. And to connect with us, send comments, queries, or suggestions about who we might interview in future programs. Write to wordonthehills@gmail.com.